Hey, Clippers. It's me, your pal, William the Opinion Updike.
You were like scaring him right there.
Oh, I was sneaking
hey,
up.
Hey, Clippers.
I'm popping out of a bush on you. Are you going to introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah. I'm Positive Chuck Mockler. Welcome to Locked On Clippers.
We're Locked On Clippers. We're coming at you. You didn't even know it.
Hey, Clippers.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's going to be kind of another classic shoot in the breeze episode.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. So we're going to open up with a little bit of Clippers culture talk. Talk about the brutal schedule that the Clippers have had thus far.
Yes.
A little bit of sweet, sweet respite from that.
Thank God.
And then we also have some interesting ideas about the salary cap and possible free agent signing and trades. We're going to do kind of an in-depth thing on the class of 2015, because if you know your NBA contracts, all those rookie deals are done.
Dunzo.
So there's a lot of interesting prospects there, so we'll be breaking into some of those. And then today is also Thursday, so we've got our Thirsty Thursday segment for you. We do it every Thursday, hence the name Thirsty Thursday. We talk about who and what we're thirsty for.
More.
Got a couple of interesting things there. And then we're just going to wrap up with last night's action of the NBA. So stay around for all that and more, starting, I think, right now.
Yeah, pretty close. Want to give a quick shout out to Metro Infinity over on 821 East Central Ave in Monrovia, just off of 210.
Oh, is that just off the 210 in Monrovia?
Right off the 210. They've been in business for over 25 years. They're family owned. One of the coolest parts about Metro Infinity, if you don't feel like going to the dealership, that is no problem. They will bring your new car and the paperwork to your home. You can just flex on everybody.
Could you meet at a pre-disclosed location?
I don't think they do meetups. I think that's probably not safe for the people who are
going to
Metro
Infinity. I want to do a pre-disclosed location. Just with all the chases going on, I would think there'd be a market to have a car arrive somewhere. They don't do that at Metro Infinity.
That's not the kind of thing they do at a great family-owned business
like Metro Infinity.
If you mention Locked On, they'll give you $500 off your car purchase. So if you're thinking about a new Infinity or just a new car in general, give them a chance to earn your business. You will not regret it. They also have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinities. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or MetroInfinity.com.
Metro Infinity.
Yes, let's get into some Clippers culture talk. We're sitting here on the front porch of our, you know,
abandoned office space.
Abandoned office. We're drinking some lemonades, talking about the Clippers culture. Per Justin Russo, this was interesting. If you've been downtrodden with how the results have been going so far, just now.
I'm sad.
This is from Justin Russo. If you're not following him, please follow him. Clippers have played the third toughest schedule so far in the NBA. Only Utah and Portland are above them. Clippers have the fourth easiest remaining schedule in the NBA. Only Western team with an easier one is Utah. Nine of the team's remaining 45 games come against the five worst teams, which is great because tomorrow we play the Suns, then we go the Magic, and then we go the Hornets.
Nice.
We could rip off three wins right here, I think.
I mean, I think that'd be just what our guys need.
It would be so nice. It's been so up and down lately.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to get like a little bit of wind in our sails, and then we have a little bit of a tough stretch before the All-Star break.
Yeah, it sucks too because like you perform so well against the Warriors and you lose, and then you perform horribly against the Spurs and you lose. So it's like it's been so up and down, both with results and with levels of play within losses. That it's like we have those encouraging losses, which suck.
I just hope the guys are taking something away from all those.
I'm sure they are.
Because otherwise it's for nothing.
Otherwise it's not an encouraging loss.
No.
It's just
And then we're going to look like idiots.
We're going to look like morons. But yeah, the schedule has been really hard. With the team where it's at right now, is it exceeding expectations that you had at the beginning of the season?
From the beginning of the season, definitely.
For sure.
I would say, I mean, much like our team's place in the standings, my expectations have kind of jumped up and down. But from the start of this season, you know, I'll run it back. I said we were going to be a 43-win team.
I think I said we were going to be 45 or something like that. So we were both in that same area.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew that we would be above 500. And now I think that, I mean, I would be disappointed if we didn't make the playoffs. It's definitely not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But I would be disappointed.
Yeah, we are 21-16 right now. We are a half game separates us between the 8th place Lakers. A little bit of breathing room on the 9th place Kings. They're a game and a half back of us. Excuse me, 2 games back of us. Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised that we're 21-16.
Yeah.
We thought we were going to go like 2-8 in those first 10 games.
Yeah.
And I think the whole fan base got kind of spoiled by that hot start.
Definitely.
Which is, I mean, a great thing to get spoiled by. I like your note in here. So the Suns have won 9 games?
Yes.
Seems like they're going to probably be heavily in the mix for getting
Yeah, they
hopefully have, for them, a top two or three pick.
Yeah, they have the second worst record in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
So it seems like they'll probably have their choice of pick. Who do you think they go with?
So we're assuming they get one? Because all three teams now, the three worst teams have the same chance.
They're picking somewhere in the top three guaranteed.
Yeah.
But let's say, like, just for the sake of the argument, they have the one.
Again. Let's say for sake of the argument, they have the one. I think they lose their minds and they pick Zion.
Interesting.
I think they just, like, there was an interesting take from Bill Simmons about how, so why did they hire Luka's coach if they weren't going to draft Luka? He thinks they wanted to draft Luka, and then Sarver, who's a complete moron,
yeah,
stepped in and was like, no, we need Ayton. He's a hometown kid. I can sell it. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I can sell it. Like, it's great for the thing. And they think there was like some weird... This is based off a Bill Simmons thing that I heard. I'm not basing this. Like, I don't know if you got this or anything.
He personally told you this.
Yeah, we get coffee every week. I was like, that, I mean, would make sense in the line of things. Why the hell would you hire Luka's coach?
Yeah.
And not draft the guy?
Definitely.
But no, I think because they have a lunatic owner, they lose their minds and they want to pair up Zion at the four with Ayton at the five or something.
I mean, I guess it could maybe work. Zion can shoot a little bit. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I was thinking, like, if they're smart, they would go RJ Barrett.
He's going to be probably the best player in this draft.
Yeah, who has, like, he has a forward size, but he plays the shooting guard at Duke, and he can handle the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
He's got a good dribble. I think he probably played point guard a bunch, like, in high school.
These averages, I had no idea. I don't follow, full disclosure, I do not watch a lot of college basketball.
That's fair.
It's a child's game as far as I'm concerned.
But no. He's currently averaging 25, 8, and 4.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Like,
so, I mean... Obviously, he won't withhold those numbers in the NBA for a couple seasons, but I mean, I think he'd be a good pairing next to Booker. And
so
then,
you put Booker still at the, you put him at point book.
Yeah, I'm saying, because I think right now the Suns are in a position where Booker should just grow as a point guard. They should try to do with him what the Rockets were able to do with Harden.
Yeah, or kind of like Ben Simmons who can shoot.
Yeah.
Would be Devin Booker. Man, we love Devin Booker on this podcast. Yeah, they'll probably end up with... I like that RJ Barrett idea. That's the smart pick, which is why I think they'll go with Zion.
Yeah.
Moving on to some cap situation. There's a great piece by Ryan Snelling today on Clipperholics about the cap situation, which we're both have kind of curious like how it would work out to get both.
To get two big superstars as the rumors.
Yeah.
As the chatter, if you will.
Oh, man. There's so much damn chatter out there. So to get both KD and Kawhi... Either Lou Williams or Montrezl Harrell would have to be moved to give the team the last bit of space they need to get both of these guys. We would also have to renounce the rights to every single player, which means no Tobias Harris and a few other guys that are on the roster. So it's a complete gutting of the roster.
Yeah. Which to me seems very unlikely.
I think it's very unlikely too. I'm also at that thing where if we had to gut it this much, also between Lou Williams or Trez, I'm assuming we would part ways with Lou.
Probably because of age and everything.
Age. He's a crazy... I mean, if we could trade him, he has an insanely movable contract.
Yeah.
$8 million a year. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably because of age and, you know, Trez is... He could back... You know, he anyway, Trez is Trez. He's amazing. I think it would be so crazy to get two new guys and basically a whole new team.
Yeah. So if we just got one... They could renounce everyone, sign Kawhi, keep Tobias.
Yes.
And then alongside the 30% max contract, the team would be at about a chill $97 million.
Yeah.
Which gives them, they'd have about $13 million still to spend. So
that seems like the most plausible thing.
I think one is even optimistic.
Two... I think people need to stop even thinking about that.
Yeah, two people. I mean, that's insane.
Like,
also, if we just look at like, let's look at the top.
Are we diving into some stats right now?
Let's look at the top free agents available next season. So, like at the top of the top, you got Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant. I would say the majority of those guys don't end up moving. Kawhi, I don't think moves.
Agreed.
Jimmy Butler, I doubt moves. I mean,
did you see his quote?
No, what was the quote?
He wants to be done playing basketball before he's 35. So this is his last contract.
Yeah.
So he's going for the most money. I mean, is what my logic is.
I don't even think it's going to be his choice. His body is going to quit before that.
But my logic is like, if you're him, yeah, get as much money as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So maybe like the Knicks or someone stupid offers him a ton of money.
He could move. I don't see him moving to the Clippers.
God, I hope not.
Kyrie Irving.
I guess that would be cool, but...
Doesn't make sense to me.
No, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, we could run Shea at the real skinny two.
Yeah. I don't like Shea at the two, though.
No, I don't either.
Klay Thompson.
Not going to leave.
Not going to leave. Kevin Durant. That one is the most possible out of all of these so far.
For sure. Agreed.
And then you're kind of second tier guys. You got Kemba Walker, who I do actually love that fit. Al Horford, who is now 32. He'll be 33 by the time the season starts next year.
Chris Middleton's in there.
Chris Middleton, Marc Gasol.
I would put Chris Middleton in the top tier.
Yeah.
He's a guy who I'd like to see us maybe make a run if we don't get, which obviously we're not going to get, I don't think we're going to get two max guys.
No.
And Middleton is a good player, but I don't think you give him the max.
And then you also got, obviously, DeMarcus Cousins, who I'm guessing is going to probably stay with the Warriors, especially if they lose one of their big contract guys.
Yeah, Draymond's probably gone.
All signs point to one of the guys are going to be gone.
Yeah, for sure. Thank God.
There's some stuff to chew on there, some stuff to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have anything else? You got some other notes here. You want to touch on anything?
There's a bunch of talk in the article about moving Bradley, who's eligible for trade on the 15th. I don't know what we're going to get for him.
Yeah, I don't know what the value is.
Like, I'm trying to go off my head, like, well, we need a center, but I don't know anyone who has a center who's better than the guys we have now who needs Avery Bradley particularly.
Yeah, no, I can't really think of a fit for that.
We've talked about it. We also weirdly need more guards.
Yeah. So yeah, no, like, I agree. We still need at least one more really solid guard to come off the bench, which we'll talk about in this next segment a little bit. But what do you got here also? Vooch?
Oh, yeah, Vooch, he's been kind of talked about a lot. They mentioned that in this article. If the Clips want to hang on to Gallinari, Tobias, Lou, and Trez while bringing in an all-star, Vucevic doesn't work.
No, it just doesn't really make any sense.
$19 million next summer.
Yeah, he's going to get he's got a big deal. I mean, he's a great player. But
he's
like,
an
once
awesome
again,
player.
But once again, we're still, like, that still leaves us in this
weird
draft position where we now have like three power forwards.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
That's pretty much all I got to say on that. It's a very good article. It taught me a couple things. So yeah, check it out. I realistically think we're going to get one good guy. It's probably going to be KD.
So piggybacking on that, if we are able to get one, or you know, worst case scenario, we don't get one, there's a bunch of interesting prospects available from the 2015 draft class.
Yeah.
Some of which have not been like signed to deals past their rookie extensions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go through some of those right now. I've kind of separated it by position.
I love this first one.
D'Angelo Russell.
I love D'Angelo.
You know,
bit of a dickhead.
He's having a much better season now that Caris LeVert has been out due to injury.
Last night he had 22 and 13 assists.
Yeah, I think that as an organization, it seems to me that the Nets would feel as though Caris LeVert is a bigger part of their future than D'Angelo Russell. Just from the looks of things.
For sure.
And granted, you know, Caris LeVert isn't a guard, but he still just seems
positionless
like,
basketball.
Yeah, he still just seems like a bigger part of their future, and I think that D'Angelo Russell would probably take less touches. So I think that he would be an interesting acquisition.
Shea and D'Angelo would be dope.
Yeah, I think that it works pretty well.
That would be really fun to watch.
I think that it works pretty well, not great.
Yeah, it's a thing where it's like really fun to watch, but then when it was going bad, it would be like, oh, this is why this doesn't really work.
Yeah, pretty good, not great. So I put that one in kind of low likelihood of possibilities, but it would be interesting. Another low likelihood of possibilities, but would be interesting, is Josh Richardson. And he, unlike the rest of the people on this list, has already been signed to a larger extension. The Heat were really smart and locked him down in 2017.
They knew that cap was going to jump.
Yeah, they locked him down for four for 42. I think that he would be just the best natural fit next to Shea.
And I do too. The thing that's crazy is that they want a hell of a lot for him.
Yeah.
He was been part of those Jimmy Butler trades and they were like refusing to trade him and all that stuff. So
well,
like,
originally he was on the block and then I think was just started having a much better season.
And they're like, oh wait, no, psych.
Like, no. Because he's averaging, this year he's averaging 19, 4, and 4.
Yeah. I mean,
which is really solid. And he is like,
and
he, you know, he doesn't need the ball in his hands as much as like, say, D'Angelo Russell does to look good. So I think that that would be the best pairing. Once again, that would have to come via trade, but I just don't see...
That'd be an interesting piece. I would really like that. Would you want us to trade for him, I'm assuming, this year?
Yeah. But I don't really see us being able to put together any sort of package that would be appealing enough to the Heat.
Yeah, and they're not dumb enough to trade a bunch of picks. The Clippers, I'm saying. They're not dumb enough to trade a bunch of picks or, like, anything like that.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think, I'm going to be honest, I don't think with how our team is doing right now, our picks are going to hold that much value.
I would agree with that.
So next up in this guard battle, we got Emmanuel Mudiay.
I'm not sure. I don't know how much I like this one.
You don't like Emmanuel Mudiay.
I think he's a good player. I don't know how he'd look off the bench, I guess. I don't know.
So, yeah, in my opinion, if we drafted Mudiay, we would be getting rid of Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
And maybe trading Avery Bradley as well.
Which, you know, less angry about losing Avery Bradley.
Yeah, and so I don't love the fit for him next to Shea. I think where he would really shine, it would be leading the second unit with him at the one and Lou Will at the two.
Oh, that would be good. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so I think we offer
him... That's an interesting size duo, too, because Mudiay is like a pretty big dude.
Yeah, and if you offer him a comparable contract to what Avery Bradley makes, let's say 12 in the neighborhood of 12 to 14 a year, I mean, that's pretty big money for somebody coming off a rookie contract.
Yeah, true.
He's in the Knicks right now, which is a failing organization. I think it'd be pretty easy to, like, snatch him away. And he's averaging right now 14-3-4, which is, like...
better than Avery Bradley or...
Yeah.
Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, so I think that that would be... I think that if we could sign him, that would be a really great acquisition. And once again, this would be to fortify the bench, which I think is something to think about as well. While our bench has been good... If it was a lot better, I mean,
okay, it's
like
a lot
what
better.
Is the ceiling of this team if the bench gets even better?
Yeah.
And then the last up in the guards is going to be Terry Rozier, who is averaging 8-4-3. Once again, this would be a guy that we would sign knowing that he would just be a second unit guy.
Yeah, and I don't think he necessarily wants that. I think he's fine with that maybe on the Celtics because they're like that squad or whatever.
Definitely.
But I think maybe going to a new team he would want more responsibility.
I know that was something that was addressed is last year after he had a pretty good run in the playoffs, that he wanted a bigger role somewhere. And I think that they might have offered him a small extension and he
said no
and he declined. I don't know the figures on that, but yeah, I don't know how that fit would work. If he was willing to take a role on a second unit on a contender team, I think that he would be a great...
Which we will be.
I think that he would be a great guy to look after. So
after we sign AD, Kawhi, and Durant.
So moving on into the front court, Kelly Oubre, who is having a bit of a renaissance right now on the Suns.
I think he's staying with the Suns, bro.
I think he
loves that dry heat in Arizona.
Maybe. But he has ties to L.A. Apparently he and according to Kelly Oubre, he and Drake run the social scene in LA.
Yeah, I don't think that's true at all.
So
sorry, Kelly. I think Drake has more pull than you do.
Oh, for sure. But what I like about Kelly Oubre is once again, he is a good fit for the second unit. We don't have a small forward that fills that role on the second unit.
He throws hands too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I appreciate.
He does throw hands. But I think that that'd be a great fit on the second unit, or he could play some minutes with the starters as like an oversized two.
Yeah. I just think he weirdly really loves Phoenix, though.
Yeah.
I think it's like really working.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. But he is like a 3-and-D guy averaging 13-4, which would be pretty solid.
We need that.
So Stanley Johnson, small forward from the Pistons.
Stojo.
Is averaging 9-4-1. Once again, I think he'd be a bench guy.
Yeah.
Unless we played him as an oversized two, which I still don't think the scoring is quite there for that to be that effective.
Not on the second unit, which already has an issue with, except for Lou.
No. I'm saying on the first unit as a large two, the scoring definitely isn't there.
Yeah.
But on the second unit, I think him at the three is pretty interesting.
Because then you got, Lou at the two.
Yeah.
Bev at the one, him at the three.
Yeah. That's why, both of these forwards, I think would be bench guys. They're not quite ready.
Not this rotation.
Yeah. So that's all I got for small forwards. And then moving into big guys, I mean, the acquisition that I would like to see.
We're
the most,
both on this train, dude. I'm so aboard this train.
Would be Willie Cauley-Stein,
dude. It'd be awesome.
We would have to overpay to get him. away from the Kings.
For sure.
Which I could maybe live with because we do need a center. He's a traditional size center. He's averaging.
He's quick. He's athletic as hell.
Yeah, he's very young. He's averaging 14-9-3.
Oh, man.
I don't think he's hit his athletic peak yet. I still think that there's like a lot left.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously very young. So this would maybe be a situation where I'd be okay with maybe paying a little bit extra.
I would be too. I really like Willie Cauley-Stein. Especially with the flow of stuff that, I mean, we got a lot of guys to re-sign, but with the core we have.
And I think it's just an exciting offer if you're the Clippers and the Kings don't end up making the playoffs.
Oh, for sure. Which I don't think they will.
I don't think so either.
They'll be within a game, though.
They're our sister. They're
the sister squad.
They're our sister squad. We love them. I don't think they're going to make it.
This last one's intriguing because we talked about this a little bit.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah.
Who I'm surprised. Maybe he might have turned down an extension offer because it wasn't large enough. But
when he had both ACLs.
That's true. He will be coming back from an injury. Before the injury, though, he was having the best season of his career, averaging 23-7. I don't know what to say about this. I only see this as being a possibility if we waive Tobias.
Yeah, which I don't want to do for Kristaps.
I don't really want. I don't want to do either.
I don't want to waive a healthy good guy for a maybe still good hurt guy.
Yeah,
that'd be a real Clippers move.
I agree. I like Kristaps. I like his game. Remains to be seen how he's going to look when he comes back. But it just doesn't. We're still stuck in that purgatory of having like three power forwards if we have Kristaps and no real.
And he might not be able to contribute as much as we want him to with the injury. Yeah, a lot hangs on the balance for Kristaps. That was a good list.
Yeah.
If you have any thoughts on those, get at us on Twitter. Also, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. You can get everything aggregated into one thing. Coming up after this break, Quick Thirsty Thursdays, just what we want to see more of. So, my Quick Thirsty Thursday thing, before we get into your actual good Thirsty Thursday subject, better all-star vote process.
Okay.
The votes came out today.
All right.
It was the fan votes. DeMarcus Cousins came in at 10th in the Western Conference, Vince Carter 7th, D. Wade 2nd, Kuzma 8th. The fan vote should just be for us to laugh at and should have no actual bearing on the All-Star game. Fans don't know anything.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's just highly biased.
No, that's what I mean. It's just that thing of like, why DeMarcus Cousins shouldn't even be on the ballot.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. I disagree, though. I do think that fans should have a role in the All-Star game because really, I mean, isn't that the point? It's for the fans.
I think it should be players and coaches.
I get what you're saying, but I just don't think that the NBA All-Star game is, should be, or ever has been like a collection of like the technically or at their position greatest players.
That's fair, but I think
that's also just too hard to quantify.
But I think if you get the player coach vote, you kind of get those guys where you're like, oh, hey, he's an all-star. I didn't know that. I guess the players vote, and that makes sense. He's a greedy guy.
I do like that argument. I mean, I do think it's interesting that it would give guys a chance. I mean, Tobias Harris, I think if you're going off of players and coaches, maybe has a shot.
Gallo does.
Fan vote, I mean, absolutely not.
Yeah, so that's where it gets me. And it's just a thing where it's like, you know, I love D. Wade. Second, I know it's his farewell tour. That's the thing that, I don't know. I'm just kind of an old man on my soapbox right here. It was just really frustrating to look at. I feel like it gives
in the Vince Carter thing, too. He's like above guys who actually start.
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on.
Yeah. DeMarcus Cousins hasn't even played basketball this season. Anyway, let's get into your actual thing that you're thirsty for.
I want to see more Killer Instinct Shea.
I couldn't agree more.
We saw him take that
two rounds of Killer Instinct from Shea over here, please. We're thirsty.
We saw him take that three that didn't end up going in, but like it was a clutch moment, and
he went for it.
He didn't hesitate.
Yeah,
there was no hesitation, which I love to see. I want to see more of. I think that I'd like to see Shea taking on an even larger minute load. And what I mean by that,
it's been fluctuating lately.
It's been fluctuating, and what I mean by that is if it's not working in the first unit, play him more minutes in the second unit.
Yeah,
he's got to get those reps in. I'd also really like to see a Killer Instinct Shea lineup with him at the one and Lou Will at the two. I know it wasn't always effective when all of his playing time.
But he was
time,
a young boy.
Yeah, when all of his playing time was coming in at that second position.
Yeah,
but I think he's a little more self-assured now.
Agreed.
I think he's seeing the game better now.
Agreed.
And I think that he can cover better. I mean, I'm going to go out and say, I think that he can cover better defensively Lou Will's shortcomings than Patrick Beverley can.
Just because Patrick Beverley is such a one-on-one defender?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Shea seems the game a little bit better. He's larger.
A little
quicker.
Zone. Yeah. I would say way quicker. I really agree with the killer instinct thing. Lucas Hahn had an interesting post about how he thinks that Doc is close to starting Beverly over Shea again. Just, it was like a hunch thing. It was just like the minute fluctuation, all this stuff makes me feel like maybe Doc is going to put Beverly in for Shea. And I like your thing about the second minutes, because it's like sometimes he looks a little lost out there with the first unit, which is going to happen in his rookie year. But yeah, to get his feet wet and to get that killer instinct, which people criticize Tobias for not having.
Definitely. I mean, I'm on that train.
And you kind of hate to see that maybe rub off on Shea. I don't know how instincts work. But it would be nice to see him out there. Yeah, and maybe give him some garbage team. Just let him kill some fools.
Yeah. Like. No, I agree. I'm not happy with the minutes fluctuation, and I do understand that it has been performance-based.
Yeah.
But I think if it's not happening on the first unit, he should be playing more minutes on the second.
And Doc does this thing where even when Shea's playing well, he'll pull Shea out and he'll just start reaming him.
Yeah.
He'll start going at him, which he's talked about how he respects his toughness. He understands he's a young kid, but he thinks he can take it, blah, blah, blah. I'm not the biggest fan of that, because if your minutes are fluctuating and the coach is yelling at you,
it sends mixed signals.
It sends mixed signals, yeah. And you get self-conscious. Like,
definitely. And that's the last thing I want. I want the opposite of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you get that thing of just like, oh, damn, coach is yelling at me. I know he believes in me and all this stuff, but my minutes are fluctuating. I'm also not playing very well. He did go 4-7 last game, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But those are just some things where I'm like, I'm a little worried about this.
But I'd be fine with him going 4 of 21 if he was getting the shots up.
Yeah,
you know
I'd
what
agree
I mean.
With that. Yeah,
like if he's getting decent looks. So the other thing, I cheated and I got one other thing I'm thirsty for.
That's
it's gonna rock your worlds.
Oh yeah, what is this?
Motley at the four.
Free Motley movement on Twitter.
Motley at the four. Mike Scott's been playing like trash. Get Motley in at the four. I love Mike Scott. Bad. I do think he does a lot well. I want to see Motley at the four.
He hasn't done a lot well lately.
I still think he's been sound defensively.
He's been sound defensively, but what we brought him on the team for to do, he hasn't been doing.
Yeah,
which is knocking down threes.
He's averaging 4 points per game through the last 10 games. I think actually, and maybe 5 over the entire season.
Yeah, not good.
Not quite there. I don't know that Motley would be necessarily that much better of a scorer, but I think it's interesting, and I think...
Yeah, why not?
I think if we have somebody struggling, why not try it out?
And Motley gets
worst
boards.
Case scenario, it doesn't work. Okay, great. Put Mike Scott back in.
Yeah, we just put Mike. I like that. That has been Thirsty Thursday. Coming up after this, we got a couple minutes to highlight, and we'll just highlight one NBA game that was actually pretty interesting. But first, if you're traveling out of sunny LA this holiday season, this winter season, I don't know why you would. Or if you're in a cold place listening right now, check out Action Heat. They have a special deal for on all their clothing. Save 20% off your entire order. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon or use the coupon code lockedon at checkout. Save 20%. Stay toasty warm while enjoying all your outdoor activities. So we got a couple, we got like 2 minutes here. Let's wrap up the one funny NBA game that happened yesterday.
Which one is that?
The Lakers Thunder.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So a bunch of Lakers fans booed Paul George.
Man, really? The Lakers?
For absolutely no reason.
I don't, because they're mad he didn't sign?
They're mad he didn't take a meeting. I don't know. Who cares?
Sore losers.
Very sore. You got LeBron James.
Yeah.
You got the best basketball player.
Grow up.
The Lakers fans booed Paul George, and he was heavily affected by this. Oh, no, he didn't. He had 37 points.
Westbrook added a triple-double.
He's averaging a triple-double and no one is talking about it.
Yeah,
people don't care anymore,
I think,
right?
We're kind of good on it.
It's so crazy to me that it's like, oh, cool, man. Another triple-double season.
Yeah, I think it's wild. I think the rebounding stuff is like maybe a little inflated.
Yeah. You mean because he's averaging
But I mean, still, 13. 14 and 16 is...
14, 16, and 10 is like...
Yeah.
If anyone else posts that stat line, people would kind of lose their minds.
Yeah.
And he's averaging a triple-double.
And yeah, I think averaging double digit assists is just like, that's where I want. That's where I want Shea to be.
Yeah.
That's what I want from everyone.
I agree. KCP was the Lakers' highest scorer with 25. Ingram had 17. JaVale had 15 and 8. Deal with it, Lakers.
Yeah.
That's what you get for booing a guy who didn't want to come on your team.
Yeah.
That's really all the time we got. We talked a bunch about free agency. Tomorrow we are going to be live streaming the episode.
Yeah, that's correct.
As well as a reaction live stream bull sash on Twitter. I don't know what else to call it. We'll have a game preview for the Clippers Suns. And
also our Pacific Division power rankings. And love, marry, kill.
Thank you for listening, guys. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.